evening. I first want to thank John for his comments this morning on how nervous I was. I don't know where he got that. I want to thank the elders for the opportunity to come for my own sake to learn. I think everyone that come up here has said that preachers really do get more out of preparing for a sermon than anyone ever gets from the actual lesson. And I hope that you gather some. And if you haven't, then I'll give you my notes, because there's plenty to go over. I'd like to begin in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. We read of one of Solomon's poems where we find a fox who I think we can all learn a particular lesson from. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, "The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff. Let me see your prey, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." God often uses animals and the scriptures to help teach us lessons. Isaiah used the ox and the donkey. David uses the horse and the mule in Psalms. Even Job refers to the beasts and birds. And there are lessons to be learned from the ant and many more. Here, these little foxes that Solomon speaks, I think we can use to illustrate a lesson. You know, today we don't really think of foxes as stealing our fruit, or they steal our chickens, or cats, or bunnies, or anything like that. But obviously in Samuel's days, the foxes were a big nuisance to them, and they could spoil the vines that they were growing, either by burrowing and ruining the roots, or even eating them. In our recent study in Nathan's class, we've been discussing the I am statements. And one that particularly grabbed my attention was the I am the vine statement in John 15. And while we were discussing of being sure to bear fruit, I thought that could be a great lesson. So thank you, Nathan, for the inspiration. And my father, actually, for the sermon idea, because I was going to do a metaphor of a metaphor regarding bearing fruit, and quickly realized how confusing that became. In John 15, we read about the vine. In John 15, verses 5 through 8, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." We understood the need to bear fruit, but during the study we asked the question, what are these fruits of the Spirit that we should be bearing? And of course, we turned to Galatians regarding the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. In order for us to bear fruit, we must be cultivating and keeping the things that can spoil our fruit away. We must be careful in our cultivation and be watchful for the little foxes that will spoil our vines if we let them. When we allow little negligences, small indulgences, that are not watched or curbed, the result is that our vine and that our fruit can be spoiled. These little foxes, as I will now refer to them, can spoil the fruit of the Spirit, are the small vices, the slight attitudes that we can often overlook. They are fox-like because they slyly overtake us if not carefully watched. But prior to listing of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul lists the works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21. Beginning in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We see the contrast of the works of the flesh, then the works of the Spirit in verses 22 through 23. There is a battle within each of us, like Monty spoke of in this morning, with Paul regarding our weaknesses in each of us in Romans 7. We can either give in to our fleshly lusts or fight them in order to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So these opposites are what I want to focus on that are spoken about in Galatians 5. These works of the flesh, which aren't even all of them, versus the fruit of the Spirit. These works of the flesh I want to compare to the little foxes we each face. Each of these fleshly desires and works of the flesh spoil and can ruin our spiritual fruit, like the little foxes spoil the vines in the Song of Solomon. So tonight, I want us to consider some of these little foxes that can sneak into our lives and spoil the good fruit that we should be bearing. The first work of the flesh is selfishness. This is one of the little fox of our time. It can easily spoil our love, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Selfishness is rampant in this generation. Some call us the me generation. Our society praises selfishness and giving in to our own selfish desires or what we think will make us happy. I believe that selfishness or empty conceit is often expressed by building oneself up and a result tearing down someone else. And that ruins the love we should be showing towards one another, and of course towards God. Selfishness is one of the works of the flesh in which we read of in Galatians 5:20. In James chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." We read self-seeking leads to confusion and evil instead of the fruit of love and selfishness. Selfishness caused the rich young ruler to turn his back on Jesus. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 through 22, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The rich young ruler let his love of possessions spoil his love for Christ. Another biblical example was Saul's selfishness. Saul let his selfishness overrule him. He became so obsessed with David, he let his selfishness overpower his love for his family, his son, and God. When we let selfishness be like the little fox, it spoils the good fruit which should be bearing, like our love towards other, and of course, God. What other little foxes spoil our good fruit that we should be bearing? We discuss selfishness spoils our love that we should have and show. But also, our discontentment can easily spoil our joy. Luke chapter 12 and verses 15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." God has given us so much, we sometimes take our blessings for granted and forget where they truly come from. If we allow the little fox of discontentment to settle in our hearts, it will spoil our joy and make us forget who our real provider is. When we put our wants and desires over that which we should be focusing on, that little fox of discontentment prohibits us from bearing the fruit of the Spirit and it kills our joy that we have. We cannot let discontentment reign over our joy. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" We cannot let our own discontent get in the way of the conduct we should have. We know that God has everything in control, and we should face the future with joy, knowing that certainty from him. Little foxes of discontentment can spoil our joy easily. Our selfishness spoils the love we have towards God and others. Our discontentment spoils our joy. And the third little fox I want to discuss is worry. And worry that so easily can spoil our peace. You know, there are tons of verses on worry, and it could be in a whole lesson in and of itself. But when we let a little fox like worry creep into our life, it can easily spoil our peace. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 32, we get the all-familiar Bible verse on worry. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." God knows what we need. We should find peace in knowing that he will provide for us. Martha allowed the little fox of distraction to spoil her peace by letting earthly things get in the way. She was too worried about Mary and worked up about earthly things that Jesus had to say to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." What worries take our mind off of that good part that Jesus spoke of? Do we allow a little worry to... Do we allow worry to be a little fox in our life? Do we let things of this world distract us from the good? Are we too worried about how people perceive us, or our money, or our jobs, or are we too worried about other people's shortcomings and faults? We should be focusing on that good part that Jesus spoke of. The part we know that will not be taken away, and that which is everlasting. And that is the peace that we should have from knowing the promise that Jesus talked about is everlasting and will never be taken away. Fourth is impatience. Our impatience spoils our long suffering. You know, we don't really think on our impatience until someone points it out. Or after the fact, when we look back on the situation and how we reacted, we tend to make and use excuses for our behavior due to our impatience. But Paul said that the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The word long-suffering isn't really used today very much, but the two Greek words mean long and temper. So it literally means to have a long temper. So synonyms are forbearing, tolerant, uncomplaining, or resigned. So to be long-suffering, then, is to have self-restraint when one is stirred to anger. A long-suffering person does not immediately retaliate or punish. Rather, they have a long fuse, they patiently forbear. In Hebrews chapter 10, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." You know, sometimes dealing with people requires endurance. Impatience is the sly little fox that steals our long-suffering attitude we should have towards others, and it attempts to excuse our behavior. Another verse in Proverbs is one of my favorites. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." You know, I take this as to say sometimes the fight isn't exactly worth it. Sometimes winning that argument with whoever it is isn't always necessary. You know, movies and TVs teaches us how to get the last word in, or how to prove someone how wrong they are. The Bible tells us that it is more important to rule our spirit than to win any battle. We cannot let our impatience or our short fuse spoil the good fruit of long-suffering that we are to have. Our selfishness spoils our love that we should have. Our discontentment spoils our joy. Our worry spoils the peace. Our impatience spoils our long-suffering. My next point is our love of pleasure spoils our self-control. One of the biggest examples in the scriptures of self-indulgence we have is the story of the prodigal son. He let his impulses and his fleshly lust guide him instead of controlling them. He let his greed separate him from his father and ultimately led him to living and eating with the swine. I think this is a lesson for us that when we let our own pleasures separate us from our own heavenly Father, then the little fox of pleasure spoils our self-control. In Hebrews, discussing the great men of faith, we have the example of Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 26, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses looked ahead. He didn't worry about the temporary pleasures that he had before him. I think this is one of the lessons we have for each of us when we become tempted. We can think of that promise and that reward that we have, and we can really contemplate that if these passing pleasures are really worth it to us. We are fed with the commercials on TV that you're worth it, or you deserve to be happy, or the big one, you owe it to yourself. When has giving into every desire we have ever been a good idea? The little fox of pleasure in each of us wants to spoil the fruit of the Spirit we should have that is self-control. We cannot let it. We must look past the temporary and look to the reward, just as Moses did. That can help us with battling our temptations and continue to train our self-control that we should have. I went through these faster than I thought I was going to. Lastly, our doubt can spoil the faith that we should have. You know, we all have questions and doubts, but the problem comes and grows when we don't actively seek out the answers to our problems. There are those that allow their little foxes of doubt to spoil their faith. They don't take care of the doubts that they have. They don't look for the answers. And they do not seek out the evidence. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." God will help those that are doubting if we but ask. So many of us use the excuse of our doubt for their apathy. We read that each of us must work out our own salvation. We cannot rely on someone else doing it for us. Or we cannot rely on a preacher helping us all the time. We each have the responsibility to look at our own doubts and our own questions. And don't let apathy get in the way of resolving those doubts. Of course, the most famous doubter in the Bible was Thomas. Thomas declared that he wouldn't believe that Jesus was resurrected unless he could see and touch Jesus for himself. When he later saw Jesus and believed, he received the gentle rebuke, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of the things not seen. We can have confidence even in the things we cannot see because God has proven himself faithful, true, and able. How many times in the Bible is that shown to us? And in each of our lives, has God shown to be there for us? Therefore, we can have that faith that surmounts our doubt. And when the foxes of doubt arise, we cannot let them spoil our faith by apathy. We must seek and diligently work out why are we having those doubts and work out those questions so that way we might have in order to strengthen our faith. The little foxes that spoil our fruit, our selfishness, can spoil the love that we should have towards others and God. Our discontentment or jealousies can spoil the joy. Our worry can spoil the peace that we should have. Our impatience can spoil our long suffering. Our love of pleasure can most certainly spoil our self-control. And last was our doubt can spoil our faith. You know, the best way to deal with these little foxes is to make sure that we are reigning in and to not give in to them. We constantly have this battle going on within us, like we spoke on earlier. One that if we don't fight, we will certainly give in to. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. We should be waging war against these fleshly lusts that are within each of us. You know that none of us are exempt from this battle. We all have shortcomings and temptations. We all have weaknesses. But I want to go back to Galatians chapter 5 and look at something that we might have overlooked. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." The Bible tells us that we can clearly see when our own fleshly lusts are getting in the way of our spiritual life. They are evident. And also, others usually can see it too. And some way too easily want to point that out. But if we want to walk in the Spirit, we must make the choice every day to rid ourselves of the little foxes in our life that spoil the good fruit. The thing is, we alone can only control our own fleshly lust that we each have. Our own little foxes may be a few or all of the things that I mentioned. But these are some of the things we must work on in order to bear the good and pleasing fruit for Christ. In Luke, I have one last parable I want to look at on bearing fruit. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Now a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to them, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." We have only been given a limited time on this earth to do what is right. Are we using our time given wisely? Are we cultivating and feeding ourselves in order to bear more fruit? Are we ridding ourselves of the little foxes in our lives that wage war on our spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In order to bear those good fruits, we must reign over those little foxes in our lives and not give in to them in order to bear the good fruit we should be. There will come a time when judgment will be here. There will be a time when Jesus will separate those who are working and bearing for him and those who let themselves and fleshly desires be put before him. I encourage each of us this week to think on those little foxes in our lives and the things that are spoiling the things that we should be bearing, the good fruit we should be producing, and to ask God for help in ridding them. Because the key is, only us alone can do that. Did you notice in Galatians that it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit? It is singular because there is only one branch that we are connected to, and that is Christ. There is only one kind of fruit of the Spirit when we walk with Christ. Jesus has given us that hope of new life because of his sacrifice. There is only one vine and one vine dresser. When judgment comes and we have not been bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we know that we risk being cut off and thrown into the fire. The fig tree in Luke was given an extra year to start producing. We aren't guaranteed anything. We aren't guaranteed an extra year to fix our lives. We aren't even promised tomorrow. The time that we have to make things right is here and now. If there be any need,